Thank you, Lord. All right, Sunday morning, 5:23:21. Wow. AGF, this is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. We're continuing on with this. This is going to be part 5 of Church Order. Ah! Malfunction. Okay. We just carry on. All right, we've been looking at the office of the apostle. Lord said to me that the reason that the church is in disarray is because it is not in order. It's not in proper order. A church without a foundation is destined to fail. And I'm going to read the scriptures. These are kind of the foundational scriptures I've used. Matthew 7 is the first one. The headliner over verse 24 in my Bible says rock or sound or sand foundations. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Right here, this just sums it up. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Yeah. I think there is, he said, for they taught him as one having authority and not as the scribes. I guess the problem is we've had scribes in leadership instead of someone that teaches the doctrines of God. The Word. Popular, unpopular, no matter. If you want to be blessed, it's God's order, God's way, or no way. Yeah. That's the way it is. Okay, now with that, turn to Matthew 16. We're going to start with 13 here. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but by my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the revelation that he got, and also he was an apostle, will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Huh. Now we see why the church doesn't ever seem to be able to keep the devil out. It's been infiltrated by the devil. Not every church, but a lot of churches, even in Jesus' day, or even at the Revelation after Jesus, whenever John was on the Isle of Patmos, just about every church but one had the seed of Satan somewhere in their church. And Jesus was talking to him about it, because he was going to be the apostle over the Asian churches. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians 2. Verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. You mean when we get it right, we'll be a holy church. We'll be a holy temple to the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. All right, with that, let's go to Ephesians 4, 17. Or 7, sorry, 7. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also ascended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is the church mature today? No. Why? No order. Proper order. The fathers aren't in place. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We need to pray for the body of Christ, that it would speak to the body of Christ to come into divine order. That would quit pursuing, trying to make alliances with demonic entities like the Vatican. Now, not all Catholics are bad, no. But we do know that it is part of the three city states. It's very religious, but what has that got to do with anything? Nothing spiritual, but Satan. I venture to say Satan's very religious. Just look at his minions and how they act. So self-righteous. Like it or not, it doesn't really matter. The foundation of the church are not pastors or teachers. Pastors I personally appoint by apostles. This is not by man's orchestration, but by the Holy Spirit's bidding. Okay, with that, let's turn to Acts 13. These are God-placed and God-appointed positions in the body of Christ. Nobody in their right mind would say, hey, I just think I'll start a church. Yeah. No. All right. We're going to read the whole chapter here. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Pamphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Do you see here? John couldn't hack it. See, God sent them out. God called them out. God anointed them as apostles to go forth. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they, Pilate, that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. But for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. But it be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that though this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest they come unto you, which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium, and the disciples were filled with the joy and with the Holy Ghost. The reason I read all this was, you see why they had to be apostles sent out. And the power and the authority given the apostle with signs and wonders, which we're going to look at later. They needed these powers and wonders and manifestation because they were going into these heathen places. And they had demons riled up against them everywhere they went. Now we see John was definitely a novice. He couldn't hack it. He couldn't hack it. Needed someone mature. God sent them to take the gospel and begin to build the fellowships, the Gentile fellowships. Okay. All right, I'm going to read you some pages here. This is about taking dominion. That's been the biggest responsibility of the church and the biggest fail of the church. It's taking dominion. All right. This is from C. Peter Wagner's book. It's called Dominion. It's the name of the book. Apostles are warriors. The timing of this new direction of the body of Christ remarkably paralleled the emergence of the biblical government of the church, which we talked about in chapter 1. It was only in the 1990s that the gift and office of apostle began to be recognized and accepted. Previously, the church was led largely by pastors and teachers and administrators. The responsibility of pastors is to care for, nurture, and comfort the flock. Very few pastors have either the gifts or the temperament to mobilize an army for war. See, we've been expecting the pastors to do that and the churches to do that. They're not armed to do that. Yeah, a pastor can teach the people, but they don't have the impartment. They don't have what it takes to do the job. Let me keep reading. Apostles, on the other hand, do. For the most part, apostles are warriors. They take pains to get to know the enemy, to develop skill in the employment of the weapons of spiritual warfare, and to motivate those who are called to the front lines. With this in mind, it's understandable that the Holy Spirit would not begin speaking to the churches about high-level attacks against Satan and his forces of evil until apostles were on the scene. They rally the troops. They're like the generals. Now that they are here, there is no turning back. The kingdom of God will expand throughout the earth. Satan is ferocious because he knows that his end is getting nearer and nearer. His final demise, like Hitler's, is just a matter of time. That's why things are turning around. We must overcome. Meanwhile, as the body of Christ, we must overcome. We must take back what the enemy has stolen. Jesus himself wrote 7 letters to churches, which we find in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. Remarkably, in every one of those 7 letters, he told the people in those churches that they should overcome. They should overcome. You know the churches. I've read them many times. What exactly does overcome mean? The Greek word for overcome is nikeo. This is easy to remember because it is the root of the boy's name Nicholas or the girl's name Nicole. That is what some parents name their child who they hope will be a winner. It is also the root of Nike shoes, backing the creative commercial idea that if you wear Nikes, you will be sure to win the game. Okay, well, how did I end up with 2 of those? Wait a minute, hold on. All right, overcoming the spiritual warfare. What is nikeo intended to mean in the Bible? The New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology says, in the New Testament, nikeo also almost always presupposes the conflict between God and opposing demonic forces. In other words, nikeo is a biblical word for spiritual warfare mentioned 7 times by Jesus in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. We only know of Jesus using the word nikeo 2 other times. One is the famous passage where Jesus says, I've overcome the world, John 16:33. The other is Luke 11:22, where he says, when I'm stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him. In the second instance, the Pharisees were following Jesus around trying to find something they could accuse him of doing. They watched him cast a demon out of a mute man so that the mute man spoke for the first time in his life. As they were trying to explain how such a thing could happen, one of the Pharisees suggested that Jesus must have used the power of Beelzebub, a well-known demonic principality. Jesus responds to what they said about Beelzebub. If I cast out demons, sounds like the deep state, doesn't it? You do something good, well, that has, you know, If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. The finger of God means the Holy Spirit. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, his goods are in peace. A strong man is obvious, a demonic principality. The strong man, his armament is prepared to war. He protects his goods, which means the illegal dominion he has over society, especially our unsaved souls. Obviously, if nothing happens to his armor, he maintains dominion. But when a stronger than he comes upon him, the stronger one is the Holy Spirit, the power by which Jesus said he cast out demons in verse 20. Remarkably, this is the same Holy Spirit who is in us. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you." With the power of the Holy Spirit, we can confidently confront the strong man. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, overcomes is Nikeo. The second time Jesus uses the word outside of Revelation. Let's not miss the importance of this for taking dominion. Taking dominion is not just praying and passively expecting God to do it for us. That is not God's design. Taking dominion is actively confronting the strong men or the principalities and powers under Satan's command and overcoming them with the power of the Holy Spirit in us. When we do that, we take from him all his armor in which he trusted and we divide his spoils. God's people assume their rightful dominion over creation. We are overcomers. So that's what they had to do. See, Paul had the gifting, him and his team, to go in and start routing out the devil who had seized all these lands. I mean, Paul talks about how grieved he was in some of the places he went in and it was overtaken with idols. Now you know why the persecution, because you stir those demons up. Yeah. All right, do you see why we must have Holy Ghost appointments and guidance? Some of these pastors that are, I call them babysitters really, but they're like nursery workers. You send them out into something like that, they're going to be like the seven sons of Sceva. They're not equipped. They're equipped to do what they're equipped to do. They're there to pastor the ones that are already into the fold, tend them. Okay. Can you see why the gates of hell have prevailed against the church? The warriors have not been sent out on the front lines like they should have been. You don't send, when you got really bad places, you send in special forces, right? I know the Lord gave me that back maybe 2 years ago about special forces. I didn't even understand what I was bringing at that time, but now I kind of understand it a little better. We must lay aside pride and whatever and get in God's proper order in the church so we don't have a prayer. And if we don't have a prayer, the world doesn't have a prayer. All right, look around you and see all the chaos right now. This morning, every once in a while, I'll just get on my iPad, just a glance at what's going on. I've never seen such filth. It's just afraid to trade at everything. And once something comes across your face, you can't unsee it. You have to pray in the Spirit and everything else just to get your mind back right. They've been warning that it's going to get more so. Like I said, it's not getting worse, it's getting uncovered. What was all hidden before is now out in the open. And it's nasty. I mean, it's nasty. Paul made this statement. This is 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing, verse 1, we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, what they went into these places, they had the glory of God in them that was not of them. And men recognized that. We've got to have that. Most people, you go into a church, you don't see no power. I hadn't seen power in the church probably since we were in Kermit. And they were all, you know, having their good time. It wasn't outside, it was inside. They didn't know how to flow with the Spirit in the church. But they come from the old Pentecostal bunch that have all died off. Because we've talked to people about the things we saw back when we were young. Not even 20 years old yet, or I was 20, I think. They don't know what the heck you're talking about. It's like Brother Hagin said, if what we've had was not taught to this generation, it'll be lost. And it has been lost. But that does not mean that God can't raise it up again. I believe He is. Okay, now flip with me to Acts 14. Now you're going to see here why they had to have those that special anointing for what the work God had called them to do. Acts 14:1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. And the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. This is imparted to the apostles, signs and wonders. Now you know why. How are you going to convince a people that's used to seeing the devil work and do magical things if you can't do a greater work? Kind of like Moses in front of Pharaoh. And the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and into the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand right on thy feet," and he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, all the disciples stood around about him. He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we through much tribulation enter the kingdom of heaven. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. When they had ordained them elders, these are pastors, elders, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. They were busy little bees, weren't they? Coming across all kinds of demonic oppression and stuff. These people, we're talking, demonic of the demonic. Everywhere they went. Can you see the power of these teams? It's the same power we need today, and it's been ordained for the church. I tell you what, you talk about overtaking with demons, you've never seen it like you've seen it today. I think it's the worst that it's ever been. It's a lot worse than it was before the flood. A lot more people. All right, just keep going. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Paul's talking here. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I come to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God we speak in Christ. And I'm trying to realize here why I put that there. But anyway, from what I see through the epistles, pastors were appointed by the apostles. Paul and his team went from region to region, evangelizing, appointing pastors of these house churches. Can you see why we need God's power? Show up. They were going into Gentile nations that worship idols, and they encountered all kinds of demonic activity. All right, Acts 16 is a one that I've taught on a lot, but we see here, this was a big stronghold, this goddess in this city. All right, verse 16 is where we're going to start. It says, and when it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul being grieved turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He came out the same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their saints was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the ruler. Lord, just quickened something to me. I remember some people that we know, this lady that was a friend of Amber's, had a little boy that was just messed up, you know, weird. He come over our house, and his mother and Amber went on the back porch to talk. He stands at the window and starts making all these weird noises. Just weird. I'm thinking, it probably wasn't very nice to me, but I turned to him and I said, shut that up. You know, like, get out of here in the name of Jesus. He sat down and shut up. I never heard another word out of him. It was like, just come out of me. Like, this kid had a demon. And I'm going, Lord, that's what Paul was putting up with this woman. She was saying all the right things, but was under this spirit. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. As a result, the whole jailer and his family all got born again that night. Power of God showed up. Yeah. Not only did they need God's power, but they had to be mature or they would have buckled under the pressure. That's why John Mark left. Now, he wrote the book of Mark, I believe, John Mark. He come back later, and then Paul calls for John Mark for his assistance on something. So we know he got over it, but he, I don't know, Barnabas, it was his cousin, I think, and they just, I think he just brought him along for the ride because you don't see him mentioned anywhere till then. He just couldn't handle it. He thought, yeah, I'm going to go with my uncle or my cousin or whatever it is. In fact, it was such a strong dissension, Paul and Barnabas parted ways over it. Yeah. All right. We're going to look at a few scriptures on signs and wonders, the office of the apostle. Okay, Acts 2. It's equipment. Just like a pastor is equipped to put up with the nursery stuff. Just like a teacher's a line upon line, precept upon precept. Just like the evangelist can go before massive crowds and preach the gospel and thousands get saved. Just like the prophet can see the vision of God and impart that. See, you know, each one of these gifts has their own impartation. And as the Holy Spirit leads, maybe we'll continue on to those other ministry gifts. For right now, we're going to do what? Do this. Okay. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So Jesus operated in all five ministry gifts. So he had signs and wonders and miracles in his ministry. All right, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That's chapter 2, verse 43. Okay, Acts 4:16. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. This is when the lame man was healed at the beautiful gate. All right, Acts 5:12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Okay, Romans chapter 15. Romans 15:18-19. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So it was a common thing, signs and wonders. In this day and this hour, we certainly need this Holy Ghost power to set things in order. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. His mission was to overturn the works of the devil. Apostles and prophets do not compete with one another. They complement each other. Their calls are linked together. They are the foundation of the church. The main purpose of Jesus dying on the cross was not only to restore man back to God, but also to reestablish God's kingdom in earth. Give us our rightful place back so we could kick the devil out. All right, now look at Luke 17. Twenty. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." That's why I was speaking with Dana a day or two ago. She said, "Mom, I think we've already started into the 1,000 years. And I said, "I think so." You know, and I thought about this scripture, the kingdom of God comes with not observation because the kingdom of God is in you. What you're going to know is when you start seeing the church being the church, when you start seeing people that have the kingdom of God in them using that authority and taking it where they were supposed to take it. That's when the kingdom starts manifesting. There's always been a few that have done it. But yeah, I would not disagree with her. I forget the name of the man. I remember coming across him one day, and he was talking about the kingdom and the thousand-year millennial reign. I'm thinking he was speaking the things that the Lord had been speaking to me, but I didn't have a word for it. I didn't realize that that's what he was imparting to me. What is his name? He passed away at the end of 2019, I believe. Anyway, I found it. I nearly had it. No, he's an older gentleman. He was in his 80s. Anyway, he said that the kingdom is here, that it would arrive by the end of, I don't know if it was 18 or 19, the beginnings of it. Anyway, he passed away. His time was over. He preached the kingdom. I've heard other, he was from England. I've heard other prophets that give reference to him. It was a different type of name. No. I'll figure it out. But anyway, that's what his ministry was about, was bringing in the kingdom. And the kingdom was brought in. He finished his race. He went to be with the Lord. He wasn't sick from what I understand. He just went home. All right, 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." This is the gospel. "For we now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." You know, I see the place of the workplace apostle more than I do the one in the church. Because where's it needed? Out there. We tend to think, well, you know, it's either the ministry or it's having a secular job and doing this stuff. I disagree. I think that has been a division that is wrongly placed, because God put some in the marketplace and anointed them in the marketplace to take their part of the gospel. It's like an either-or situation. No, I don't believe so. I used to think that too, but I don't anymore. "Through the new birth, we now have our dominion back. I mentioned this before, that apostles and prophets are like the draft horse teams. One horse can pull 5,000 pounds, the second horse 4,000 pounds, but together they can pull 13,000 pounds. The balance between an apostle and their team of prophets and intercessors bring accountability and a win for the church. Apostles and prophets that don't understand this and don't work together are a loss for the church. There must be mutual respect between the two. It is not about controlling each other, but respect and working well together. A team, they add value to each other. Deference is required." This is what deference is: affected and ingratiating regard for another's opinion. Not saying, "Well, bless God, I'm the apostle here, and so I've got the final say." No. It's, "I want to hear what thoughts, what's God saying to you?" And then when you have to stand up like James and said, "Okay, this is my decision," whatever. All right, Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, for every member of the body of Christ, the grace of God is imparted to you to do your part. And that way, as an apostle at the top or whoever, you don't take it unto yourself that, look at my great this or that. It's by the grace of God. All right. The office is called and placed by God for good reason. God doesn't just do stuff like we do. Most people do. They just do stuff. Blow wherever they feel like today, this is what I'm going to do. Yeah? Am I right? Most people live their whole life that way. They're going to get a surprise when they get to heaven, ain't they? All right, 1 Corinthians 1, 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. All right, I don't know, is Sosthenes the head of the church there? God's endorsement, the head of the church, the pastor of that church endorsement, I guess, I don't know. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. 1 Peter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia.
Peter, not Paul.
Huh? This is Peter, an apostle.
You said Paul.
Sorry, Peter. Paul. Paul specifically, he emphasizes his apostolic credentials in no fewer than 9 times out of his 13 epistles. Peter does it in both of his epistles. Here's how all the ministry gifts given to the church are used in Scripture. Apostles are used 11 times, servants 5 times, elders 2 times, and prisoner 1 time. As the church, we have only gotten part of it right. It is clear that God meant for us not to just win the lost, but to also dominate the culture. You know how you do that? We're going to look at that. This is Matthew 28. Doesn't mean you go in and take over and say, well, I'm the boss here now. No, this is how you do it. This is Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you all the way into the end of the world. You go in among the natives and teach the natives God's ways. You don't just love them and leave them. You teach them. That's why Paul set up house churches everywhere in the different districts that he went and set an elder over that so they could start coming and start discipling them to change the culture that they were born again in. See, a lot of people oppose the dominion teachings because they think, well, it's like the Jews think they got to go in and take the whole land and kill everything on the land. No. No. Making disciples takes it a step further. Teach them right and they will do right. This is taking dominion. Okay.